sermon text, Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 2. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." The title of today's sermon is The Last Prophet. I'm going to do something that I've never done here before. I have done it occasionally over the last 40-some years, but I haven't done it here. I'm not going to use the sermon. I wrote it. Copies of it back there in the narthex. We had all kinds of slides. We're not going to use them. It just wasn't what I wanted to say. And this has happened to me a number of times. The night before, I read it and it just seems like words. Oh, it's good. I mean, it's true that was in there. It's, I think, uplifting, helpful. Didn't speak to me. And so I thought about it a little bit last night, and I got up early, which for me is difficult. And I'm going to share some things from my heart. It's been a very emotional time for me. H. Richard Niebuhr wrote a book, Christ and Culture. "No one can be a member of the Christian fellowship who does not acknowledge Jesus as Christ and the Son of God, and who does not love the brothers in obedience to the Lord. Can't be a member of the body of Christ unless you can say Jesus is Lord and, oh, he's the Son of God. And through the power of his Spirit, I've been led to love my neighbors myself." And I jotted this down last night, and I thought about it. The church is not made up of spiritual giants. Only broken people can lead others to the cross. I really focused on that. Church is not made up of spiritual giants. Only broken people can lead others to the cross. I like to read the Roman Catholic priest Henry Nouwen. He's no longer with us. But he had a saying that has always stuck with me. He said, "We are broken healers." That's who we are. As the body of Christ, we're broken healers. On my way to New York and back, I went to see Nigel for 2 days. I listened to a lot of music. There's a blind songwriter. You probably never heard of him. His name is Ken Medina. And he wrote a song that just stuck with me, "The Cry of Our Hearts." If this is not a place where tears are understood, then where shall I go to cry? And if this is not a place where my spirit can take wings, then where shall I go to fly? We are the body of Christ. We are those who await the coming of the King. We are those who are preparing our hearts to greet Christ. I think I'm going to share with you later, if I come to it, the vision statement I shared earlier, but I am going to share this at least. Any of you remember those 5 points I put up on the screen? Our vision is summarized. Remember that? We envision a church where God is glorified in all things. Remember that? We envision a church that's true to the Scriptures, faithful to the Lutheran confessions, obedient to the Great Commission. We envision a church that has a God-sized vision requiring a God-glorifying faith to achieve. We envision a church that is healthy and that is committed to developing healthy relationships with God and with one another. 5, we envision a church that equips every believer for ministry by helping them to find a place of significant service in God's kingdom. Remember any of that? I think I'm going to put that in our Wednesday thing. I'll tell you one thing I didn't share with you, and I'm going to now. After I wrote that, I wrote a short paragraph. The church. Zion is to be a place where the hurting, the depressed, the disappointed, the lonely, the confused, the guilty, and the sinful find forgiveness, love, acceptance, help, hope, guidance, encouragement, support, and salvation only in Christ. I didn't share that with you. I will now. The church needs to be a place where people can find God. And a place where they can hear God speak, and a place where they can grow in God. A place where they can develop their relationships with other people. A place where they can be encouraged, and not with superficial platitudes, religious words, but with love and reality. That's what we are. The body of Christ. In 1999, there was a group that was formed called Casting Crowns. You've probably heard of them. Some of you are nodding your heads. 1999, a group of young people, that was 20 years ago, they're probably not so young now, 20 years ago. And as I sat last night, I thought, when I get up on Sunday morning, I'm just going to pull out some of their work. This is Casting Crowns, talking about worship. They worship. It's crowded in worship today as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know. Farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them that there's a way? There's a way. The traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. Now here's the key. Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. We are the body of Christ. I'll tell you one thing. The church is for everybody. It's for nobody. Now that's just, put it on your wall. Church is either for everybody or it's for nobody. Another one from same people. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? That would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I'm a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Who am I? I'm yours. Who shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Because I'm yours. I'm yours. That's a great song. There have been three times in my life where I have broken down and cried uncontrollably. Three times in my life. Now there's four. I was driving to New York, and I was close to Kingston, and I was listening to country music, and there was a song, and I forget the artist, and I'm not even sure, but I thought he walked on water. Remember that song? And it's talking about a great-grandfather and how his little great-grandson looked at great-granddad. I thought he walked on water. And I pulled over and I cried and I cried and I cried. And all I can think of was, what a blessing. A church home, family, friends, a grandchild I never thought I'd have, a loving wife, celebrating Christmas. What a wonderful thing. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant. It was just a sling and a stone surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name, and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I've tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they didn't seem so high from on top of them looking down. I will soar with the wings of eagles when I stop and listen to the sound of Jesus singing over me. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. There are so many voices out there, and everybody is right. What is truth? Well, there is one voice out there that is true. And that's the voice we listen to. And that's the voice of the one born in a manger, born to die, born to save. Andrew Murray I pick up little things as I go along. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. I want you to take that home with you. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. Give your life to him. God has not promised skies ever true. Excuse me. God has not promised skies ever blue, nor flowers strewn pathways always for you. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. But he has promised strength from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. God is with us. That's what Emmanuel is, right? God with us. Jesus is incarnate. He is God in human flesh. In just a few minutes, we're going to put a wafer in your hand, and we're going to look you in the eye, and we're going to say, take and eat that. That's Jesus. And he's giving himself to you because he wants to live in your life. He wants to dwell in your heart. So take this and receive it unto yourself. And then we're going to give you some wine, and we're going to say, this is the very blood of Christ. And he's offering himself to you as the giver and the gift. And as you come in faith, confessing your sins, he's going to forgive your sins and strengthen your walk with him. Now take this and drink of it. It's Christ, the giver and the gift. He's coming to you, this Advent King, to make his home in your heart. Now, that's what we believe happens in the sacrament. Okay. Come, thou long-expected Jesus.